Alaska Electric Light and Power says the cost of the diesel fuel burned during last week's Snettisham outage is about $430,000, or 0.5 cent per kilowatt hour. The hydroelectric project went offline Thursday morning and came back on Saturday afternoon. During that time, AELMP supplemented with diesel generation, burning 130,000 gallons, according to generation engineer Scott Willis. The cost will be spread across commercial and residential consumers beginning in January in the routine quarterly cost of power adjustment. At an average residential use of 750 kilowatt hours of electricity a month, Willis says the monthly increase will be about $3.75 for the first 3 months of 2012. Without the Lake Dorothy project, the 2.5 day outage would have cost users even more. Willis says the company generated about 50% of Juneau's electricity from hydro and the other 50% from diesel. Lake Dorothy mainly serves the Greens Creek mine until it's needed in town.
As soon as Snettisham tripped offline, Greens Creek tripped offline, and we did not bring them back on until Snettisham power was restored. And that's the same situation with our dual fuel customers also. So all of our hydro was devoted to our firm customers in town. And that saved us about 70,000 gallons of diesel fuel, which saved the community about $250,000.
The outage was prompted by a failure on a transmission line tower about 3 miles from the Snettisham hydroelectric facility, actually a three-pole structure. Anchor bolts for two tower guy wires failed, and the uphill tower leaned in to the And the Apera Tower's conductor leaned into the center tower's guy wire, touching and causing a short to ground. Willis says AELMP is still investigating the cause of the broken anchors, and he says crews added a level of security during that fix.
So now there's three anchors and three guy wires holding this tower, whereas before there were only two. So we've tried to improve the situation so there won't be as much stress on the existing anchors.
He says additional work will be done next summer to drill new anchors. Prosecutors have filed charges against two other close relatives of a Juneau guide, now making at least three men implicated in an expanding investigation into poaching activities in the Juneau area. The Attorney General's Office of Special Prosecutions has filed charges against two brothers of 37-year-old Michael Patrick Duby, owner and operator of Fish Hunter Charters. 36-year-old Jason W. Duby of Clallam, Washington, faces charges of bear baiting without a permit, hunting in a closed area, and taking a black bear without an appropriate permit. 27-year-old Joel M. Duby of Richmond, Washington, faces charges of guiding without a valid sport fish license and engaging in sport fish guiding without a guide license available for inspection. Both of the Duby brothers are scheduled to be arraigned telephonically in Juneau District Court today. Michael Patrick Duby's father, 61-year-old Michael W. Duby, has already been charged with providing guide services without a license, allegedly for a sport fishing trip in April of 2008 while taking out the Brody, Michael Patrick Duby's boat. Michael Patrick Duby has not been charged with any recent infractions or crimes under state law. He's currently awaiting sentencing on a federal charge related to selling migratory bird parts over the Internet. Juneau police say that the man who fell down a cliff into Cowie Creek on Douglas Island died from drowning. Detectives announced yesterday morning that they finished their investigation into the death of 22-year-old Evan Marshall Smith. Early Sunday morning, November 6, Smith and an 18-year-old woman, whose identity was not disclosed, jumped out of a second-floor window of a residence near Foster Avenue in West Juneau to avoid talking to officers. They ran into an adjacent wooded area and fell off a cliff. Both reportedly fell about 80 feet. The woman was taken to the hospital for treatment of her injuries. Smith's body was found nearby. A Sitka father and son in custody on drug and assault charges since late September have been indicted on additional felony drug charges. 43-year-old Christopher E. Betancourt and 22-year-old Jeffrey W. Betancourt were indicted last week along with the elder Betancourt's wife and two others. Prosecutors say Christopher Betancourt delivered methamphetamine to a 16-year-old Sitka resident between July and September and possessed heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine, and prescription drugs with intent to deliver. Jeffrey Betancourt is charged with possessing heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine, and prescription drugs with intent to deliver. 43-year-old Tina L. Betancourt is charged with 7 drug counts, and prosecutors say she delivered methamphetamine to a 16-year-old between July and September of 2011. Her bail was set at $100,000. A Fairbanks militia leader and 2 other people have entered pleas of not guilty to federal weapons charges. Militia leader Francis Schaefer Cox, along with Coleman Barney and Lonnie Vernon, were arraigned yesterday in U.S. District Court in Anchorage. The men have been charged with plotting to kill state troopers and court officials, but those state charges were dropped after a judge determined that audio and video recordings were obtained without a search warrant. They still face federal weapons charges stemming from a 6-month FBI investigation. The indictment focuses mainly on Cox, but all 3 face charges of conspiracy to possess unregistered silencers and destructive weapons. They are charged with stockpiling illegal weapons such as machine guns and grenades in case of a government collapse. The Ethics Committee for the U.S. House is extending an investigation into possible violations by Congressman Don Young of Alaska. Libby Casey has more on the story.
Monday's announcement was the first public confirmation that the ethics panel is probing into Congressman Young. The Ethics Committee is notoriously secretive about investigations. Its statement merely says it's extending the period of time it's taking to look into, quote, matters, and that the extension does not mean a violation has necessarily occurred. It now has until January 11th to decide how to proceed. Congressman Young's office says the investigation centers around donations made to his legal defense fund early this year and whether they exceed the legal limit on contributions. Young spokesman Luke Miller says the congressman has been proactive dealing with the allegations and that when the issue first came up over the summer, Young formally requested that the Ethics Committee look into it. Miller read from a prepared statement.
Considering the hell Congressman Young has gone through over the past 5 years, he would not knowingly do anything that would violate House rules. Congressman Young will continue to work with the Ethics Committee as they resolve this matter, and he is prepared to return any contribution that is deemed in excess of the limit.
Young was the subject of federal investigations on a number of fronts in recent years over alleged campaign contributions from corrupt VICO executive Bill Allen and an earmark called Coconut Road that was mysteriously inserted into a transportation bill and benefited a wealthy Florida developer and donor. Young announced last year that the Justice Department had ended its investigations. But the watch group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW, wants to know more about the investigations into Young and has sued the Justice Department for access to its records. Executive Director Melanie Sloan says Monday's internal congressional investigation pales in comparison to past accusations.
In truth, this is just not, to my mind, anywhere near the biggest ethics issue that Don Young has ever faced. It's pretty minor in the scheme of things. He was the subject of 4 different criminal investigations. The Ethics Committee let all of that go by without nary a word. It tells me that the Ethics Committee isn't interested in the big issues, the big problems.
The Congressional Ethics Committee would not comment on its investigation into Young beyond the brief statement it released Monday. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.
Senator Lisa Murkowski is calling for an investigation into why the Justice Department is not prosecuting former VICO executive Bill Allen. He was accused of transporting an underage girl across state lines for sex, a federal crime. Murkowski has expressed frustration and disgust that Allen has not been pursued for the alleged offense and said she's concerned that the Justice Department might be giving him a pass because he helped them out during the trial of the late Senator Ted Stevens. Allen was the government's key witness in that case, which collapsed when it was revealed that prosecutors were concealing evidence from Stevens' lawyers. Allen was also a key witness in corruption cases against state legislators. Murkowski's office said yesterday that she sent a letter to the Justice Department last week demanding that there be an objective, thorough, and independent investigation to find out why the federal government is not pursuing Allen. She's also frustrated that even though the Alaska Attorney General's office has sought permission to prosecute Allen, the Justice Department denied its request.